Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. Knowing something in theory doesn't mean anything until it is put into action. In this message, you will learn in a practical way what it means to have a free will and use it to love God. Many Christians believe they love God by attending church, singing, and tithing. And while these things are good and well, loving God actually begins with obeying Him and living a holy life. So how do we go about doing this? The first step is learning how to live and putting the concepts into action. This eye-opening message is entitled, Walking in Your Free Will. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on October 31st, 2010. And I'm happy that you are here today and I'm happy that you are with us, that are watching us now and watching us later. And I'm going to be speaking today on a subject, walking in our free will. I believe it's a very important message that we understand that we have a free will and that we can walk in that free will. So let's stand one more time and pray and ask God's blessing upon our message. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that, Lord, you're going to do something great here today, Father. You're going to move upon us. You're going to touch us, Lord, and you're going to speak to us so that, Father God, we will simply be able to live victorious. And I thank you for that, and I praise you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Joshua, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. That's the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. And if you're here today and you're simply saying this, well, I got a problem, or I got needs, whatever it is, I hope that today you will find in a message here that you will learn that God can meet that need. We're not going to do a practical study today in what it means to walk with God in our free will. First of all, let's establish that God does not make us love Him. Rather, it is a decision each Christian must make on their own. And in John 14:15, we read this. As John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Very simple verse. Jesus said, if you really love me, keep my commandments. Jesus didn't say, if you love me, give me all your money. He didn't say, if you love me, keep praising me all day long. If you love me, pray, fast, do everything. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Bible says that Jesus is the groom. We are the bride. And I'm sure that you have been to weddings. Some of you are married. Some of you have been married and you went to your own wedding. So we know how that goes. But I had never seen a wedding where the groom and a bride simply say, we have some things we want to share with the congregation, with one another. And the groom would simply say this, I have some old girlfriends that I like to maintain my friendship with. I'm not going to sleep with them. But I want to be able to take them out from time to time and have dinner with them. And the bride says, okay, that's fine because I also got a bunch of boyfriends. And, you know, I like to keep my friends. So we would just have what I would call an open marriage. I never seen a bride and a groom do that. Instead, they simply say that we will cling to one another and be one flesh and we be true to one another. Now, every groom, if he's honest, when he goes to the wedding, he doesn't think, you know, well, you know, if it doesn't work out, you know, I can always divorce this lady. And a bride will not simply come up and says, well, you know, he's a nice guy and so, but if he doesn't keep his job and things are happening like that, I'm going to drop him and find something better. When you stand there and get married, you mean it, at least you should, and you say, this is what we plan to do. So you got saved. And you got married to Jesus. And you says, oh, Jesus, I love you. Oh, Jesus, thank you for saving my soul. I don't have to go to hell. Now, Jesus, I'll meet you again when I die. In the meantime, I got a life to live, things to go, places to see and do. And so just don't bother me, Jesus. But I really appreciate my salvation. I really do. I don't want to go to hell. But Jesus, leave me alone right now. Most people live like that. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Look what I wrote. Loving God is not done with words, songs, or money, but by keeping his commandments. Let me ask you, man, this. Let's say, for example, that your wife is out with other men. And you find it out, and she says, well, honey, you know, I love you. And she gives you flowers, extra good food and stuff like this. Would you say, okay, that's okay, honey. I like the stuff you give me. You're going to say, don't give me that stuff. Unless you are faithful. In Romans chapter 6, that's the book of Romans. Chapter 6. And you pick this up in verse number 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. Look in verse number 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Here you are at home, at a computer. And you're thinking, you know, I'm going to check some websites out. Well, your fingers will not hit the keys unless your brain tells them. And your brain will not say that unless your soul says, I want to sin. No drug addict can ever say, you know, well, you know, my hand just keep popping his pills into my mouth, or, you know, it just keeps shooting up. The hand doesn't know anything unless your soul first says, this is what I want. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey or slaves to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Most of us here today, if you have property, you are a slave to a banking institute. And every month you have to satisfy your mortgage payment. Many more are slaves or servants to credit card companies. And you got automobile payments. And when we go out and buy things on credit, we become slaves to whoever we purchase it from, and we simply give us the money. We are now their slaves or servants. And we got to work and pay continually until we pay off our debt. Very few people can buy a home cash, so we have to have a mortgage. But I want you to say this here and now. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, he's servant you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servant of sin, but you obeyed for the heart that former doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. We don't have to be slaves to sin. My next headline said this. We must know what God has spoken. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. That's Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew chapter 5. And this is what I wrote. In order to obey and love God, it is important to turn to the Bible to find out what he has said and the kind of laws he has created. A good place to start is to find out what Jesus said about this matter. And in Matthew 5:13, we read the following. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt have lost its savor, wherewith should it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to cast out to be thrown under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put on a bushel, but a candlestick, and give light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass one jot to one tittle, shall in no wise pass from the law or the 5 books of Moses, till all be fulfilled. Then if you turn to Matthew 22, that's the 22nd chapter in Matthew, and you pick it up in verse number 35. Matthew 22:35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is a great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus now said this. The Old Testament still stands, except for the sacrificial laws. The reason you and I can meet here today is we have laws in the United States. This is a law-based society. You can hold property because we have laws. You can drive a car because we got traffic laws. We can work and do business because we got laws that are simply governing business. If you really want to know what it means to be lawless, take a vacation to Somalia. They have no traffic laws, no business laws. No constitution. It's a lawless society. Now, wouldn't it be nice to live there? You can do whatever you want to do. You don't even have to have a building permit. But, of course, the moment you build something, somebody will come and burn it down for you. But you don't need a permit. You know, you can do whatever you want to do in Somalia. If you got a gun and you got money, you rule. We don't like to live like that. We like to live in a society where each one of us are law-abiding. If I look out and look at your car out there, and I says, well, I like your car. And I walk up to you and said, now just hand me your keys. I want to take a car from you. And you says, well, that's theft. No. I'm under grace. I can do whatever I want to do. I'm saved by grace. Doesn't matter. I want your car. You would object. You would say, well, you're stepping on my rights. That's correct. The law simply says you do not step on somebody else's toes. And that way we all get along. Look what I wrote to the box. We can logically conclude that every commandment God has given in the Bible is valid until Jesus returns. The only command we can disregard are the ones concerning sacrifices. Let me talk about car insurance. Now, we're supposed to have car insurance. Most of us have car insurance. And you know, you got this company, you know, that say, well, we got cheaper, we're cheap, and so on. You know when you know that your car insurance is good or not? Is when you have an accident. When you have an accident, you will find out how good is your company. A friend of ours had a duplex burned down about a week ago up in Linda, which is outside Marysville. And my wife and I went and looked at it Friday. And most of the roof had burned off and so on, and everything inside was kind of gutted. And I said, well, are you going to bulldoze this down? Oh, no. The insurance company came out with their adjusters, and they counted every beam that was not burned, every joist. The walls had to stand, and they're only going to give so much money, you even got to keep the windows. Nice policy. It was probably cheap. But when you have a fire, boy, are they cheap. So we want to simply say, God, I want to be obedient. I want to walk with you. I want to love you. Turn it to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Now, if there's one book that most Americans do not read, it is the Bible. If you go to most American homes, they have a Bible, but it's never read. If you go up to an average Joe, I won't use that term again, but you go up to an average Joe and ask him, and Joe is a very intelligent guy, so he doesn't count for him. You ask him this, what does the Bible say about this? It says, I don't know, man. I don't know. You got to ask a preacher. When you ask a preacher, sometimes they don't know it either. Now, if I would ask you this, how about ball games, sports? You would simply say, oh, yeah. You know, this guy scored, you know, and this is how the game went. And, you know, you go back for years. How wonderful. Ask him the Bible. I don't know. My wife is in charge of that department. You know, she's a spiritual one. You know, I'm in charge of the beer, the sports, you know, bring home some money. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 3, this is how God wants us to learn. Hear therefore Israel and observe to do it, that he may be well with you, that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you in a land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Here again we go. You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, They shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. Here's what God said. Here's a program. Write things down. Put them on your walls, in the bathroom, everywhere. Look at it. Read it. Talk about it. Discuss it. Know your Bible. Have you ever had a salesperson come up to you? Matter of fact, that do happen. Now you go to a store, and you go up to an associate. They call them associates. Now they're not clerks anymore. They're associates. And you ask them, what about this product? Have you noticed this? They go and grab it, and they read what it says. And they say, oh, well, no. They don't know their products. They simply sell it. If you ask them, well, what about this? Look, man, I just work here. My job is to sell you this stuff. I need to make money for my salary. Don't ask about the merchandise. I don't know. Read it yourself. That's the attitude. You are the fifth gospel. Remember this. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. Most people do not read the four gospels, but I read you. They listen to what you say. They watch you, what you do. And if you appointed them to God, they will see a road to God. But if you live like hell, you know where you're going to point them. It is a duty of every believer in Christ to study the Bible precept by precept and learn what God wants us to do. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you pick it up in verse 15, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's say you are driving your car one day, and you come upon an accident on a highway someplace out, and you're the first one there. And there are people that have been thrown out of the cars. They're badly damaged, badly hurt. And you try to stop the bleeding, whatever you can. And you realize that these three, four people are in a dying condition. They're going to die. They're not going to live. Do you have enough Bible in your head that you can say, I cannot help you physically, but I can give you Jesus at least. You don't have to go to hell. Could you lead someone to Christ momentarily like this if you are in that situation? Or would you simply say, what did the preacher say last Sunday? The plan of salvation? Just can't remember it. God is love, brother. God is love. Die in peace. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? We should know enough we can lead people to Christ. Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then turn to Hosea chapter 4. Just after Daniel, Hosea chapter 4 and verses 1 through 5 here. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing, I'm in verse number 2 now. That's Hosea 4:2. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. It sounds like our nation right now. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwells in shall language, with the beast of the field and with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fish of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for your people are as they that strive with a priest. Therefore shall you fall in the day, and prophets also shall fall with you in the night. I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you should be no priest to me. See, you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you look at the landscape, 60% of all marriages today end in divorce. Young people are into drugs, older people into drugs. There's a lot of drugs. A lot of destruction. You go to the hospital, you will find them are always filled to capacity. Have you noticed this? We are building more and more hospitals because the baby boomers are coming. And they're getting older. They're going to get sicker. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I saw in the news program Saturday from Haiti. They had cholera in Haiti. And there's a simple thing that they can do, and that is to wash their hands. And they had a number of people that were handing out bar of soaps, and they were teaching them how to wash their hands. And I thought about, you know, that's basic. And then you go to a restaurant, you go to in and out to some other place, you go to the bathroom, do your thing, and then go wash your hands, and watch all the people that simply go from the bathroom straight out, no washing of hands. I've seen it over and over again. Why? Who cares? Man, grab the hamburger first. People destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, where are we going to start? Let's start in Ephesians now. How are we going to live? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And this is a good start. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith? That of yourself is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus the good works, which God has before ordained, that we should walk in them. The first step is to be saved. I want to ask you this. Are you saved? I've had people be in church a long time. And they think, you know, well, I go to church. I was raised in a Christian home. I got sprinkled as a baby. You know, I always been a Christian. If you're born in a garage, does that make you a car? You see, to be born again, you have to come personally to Christ. You cannot say, well, my wife is religious, or my mom was a saint. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. And if you never have come yourself and said, God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I want to repent. Please save me. Jesus. You're not born again. And when you die, You might have been in church all your life, but you go to hell because you had to be born again. If a man and a woman decide they want to get married, marriage takes place when you make the commitment. You cannot say, well, we're going to get married. We are getting married now. You got to come to a moment when a man and a woman make a commitment and say, I take you to be my lawful wedded wife and husband. It's a commitment. Have you made that commitment any time in your life? If you haven't, you're not saved. If you have made a commitment, you're ready to go to the next step. And look what I wrote here and there. I work the works of God because I am saved, not to be saved. We're not doing good works to be saved. We do good works because we are saved. Let's turn on to Exodus chapter 20. Let's talk about the Ten Commandments. Now, if you, like most other people, you think about Charlton Heston, and the Ten Commandments that they made. And they left half of it out when they made that movie. That was Hollywood. But I guess they got Moses in there. They got something right. The most logical place to start is with the Ten Commandments. Most Christians have heard about the Ten Commandments. Some can even name a few. But most are ignorant. If I would have each one of you come up here today and simply recite the Ten Commandments, I wonder how many of you could do that. I'm not going to embarrass you. Since the Bible has been taken out of the public school, the vast majority of Americans do not know the Ten Commandments. They simply do not know them. They hear about it. The ACLU says we can't have it on displayed. But let's read it. Let's read it together. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You should have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter, your manservant nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. You should not kill. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. You should not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservants, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is your neighbor's. These are the Ten Commandments. Our Constitution is based on the Ten Commandments. Look in the outline. I'm just going to briefly go over this here with you very quickly. Since you want to love the Lord your God and his son Jesus, obeying these commandments would be the next step. But some may say, I'm too weak. I don't have enough power. This is the poor excuse that originates with the devil. I'm sure that many of us here today need some money. I could use some more. How many of you on your way to church, they robbed a bank? How many of you have robbed a bank in the last 10 years? Most of us, we have never robbed a bank and we never will. Wow, can I keep that? Why don't we rob banks? Because we don't want to go to the clink. Now, God said, don't worship anyone else. That's easy to keep if you love him. He said, don't make any things that is in heaven in the spirit world. And you had a power to decorate your dwelling place on this earth, and you do not have to adorn it with idols. You have that power. No one is going to force you and say, hey, you got to take this Buddha statue and put it in your living room. If you do it, you do it because you want to. Now, I'm not going to try to tell you I'm better than anyone else. I'm just sharing with you what happened in my life. Now, I have been able not to take the name of the Lord in vain for about 45 years. Was it hard? Not really, because before I got saved, I was cursing, swearing, using God's name in vain, everything else. And I prided myself since I had to learn English. It's not my native language. And I prided myself to outswear anyone. I got saved and suddenly they just dropped off. I don't need to curse anymore. Now, I don't want to desecrate the name of my Heavenly Father, His Son, nor the Holy Spirit. If you want to know if you're delivered in that area, it's a very simple test. You simply take your finger, have somebody take a hammer, and hit your finger and see what comes out of your mouth. If you are sanctified, it will be, oh no, praise God, thank you Jesus for healing that. If you're not sanctified, you know what's going to come out. You're going to call upon every devil to come around. What about keeping a Sabbath? Well, it's easy. I simply learned this, that regular work is done 6 days a week. Now, my Sabbath is Friday. I'm working today, folks. You're not. So I take one day, but I simply say, I'm not going to work. I'm going to give that day to the Lord. I worship on Sunday. But I made a choice. Now, some of you are tempted. Now, I'm really blessed by Thomas Burns. There have been times when they were crammed for a job situation. They had to finish. They don't work on Sunday. If somebody pressures him, he says, we don't work Sunday. Period. The people that work for him know that. How about honoring your parents? When I got saved, I got a love for my mom and dad and for my wife's mom and dad. And you know, some of you might not have good parents. How do you honor them? Don't badmouth them. They might be out of the tulips, but they are your parents. They gave you life. So what you do is simply just say, dear God, bless my mom, bless my dad, help them. You honor them. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to do what they do. I was blessed. My mom and dad gave their life to Christ, and so did my wife's parents. And we had a great time. And I can look back today, both sets of parents are gone now. I can look back and say, I did everything I could. We honored them before they left this earth. And God blessed us. Point number 6. I never killed anyone. Don't plan to kill anyone. It's that simple. Now, if you get in a rage, you might kill someone. You might even thought about killing someone. And you need to simply say, God, help me. And then, you should not commit adultery. It's just a decision you make. I simply make my wife and I made a decision. We're going to stay true to one another. And I notice I'm not going to go out and look at this and look at that. It doesn't work. You stay true. Stealing. Oh, I was a thief. I was very clever. My brother and I, we broke into places. We stole. I stole from my grandma. Looked her right in the eyes and said, "Grandma, I haven't taken a dime. I've been rifling in the purse. Clean it out." I got caught years ago when I was a little boy. My uncle had some money laying around. I was only about 9 years old, 8 to 9 years old. And I simply said, I wanted some toy soldiers. And so my uncle just took his money, went and bought the toy soldiers, brought them home. And, of course, he screamed and said, "Who took my money?" And they looked around in the house to see who got what. And I had this new set of toy soldiers. And they said, "Now, where did you get that?" "Ah, the store." Guess what? I had to box it up, walk back to the store, led by the ear, and say, "I want to give this back. I'm sorry I stole this. Can I have my money back?" But when I got saved, I realized I don't want to steal. I don't have to steal. We had a job done. It's easy sometimes to steal. You don't even know you're stealing. We had some gutters put on our place. And we had one section there that looked bad, and it was not in the bid. And so the guys worked it out, and the manager, but the supervisor came up and said, "You know, I'd like to replace that for you. It doesn't look good." I said, "That's nice. Go ahead." So he did. I was in charge for it. Well, I thought about it. I got to pay for that. I got to pay for that. But he put it up. I didn't ask him for it. It's his problem. Holy Spirit said, "You need to pay for it." So I called up the contractor. The estimator said, "You know, he put up about 20 feet extra gutter. And I guess I need to pay for that." He said, "Yes." He gave me a price. I said, "Well, fax me a bill." Well, I did pay it. I feel good. I can pass that gutter now. And I know I didn't steal it. See? It's so easy. So you don't have to steal. Bearing false witness or lying. It's just something that I just made a habit of. I'm not going to lie. You can make that decision. You don't have to lie. Coveting. Oh, yes. It's easy to covet. But I simply learned to be content. I don't have to covet. Sure, I would like to have Thomas Burns' big truck. Ooh, yes. But you know, that's his truck. I got mine. 77. Chevy Silverado, 454, 7 miles a gallon. It's a good truck. Get where I want to be. You see, we got to come to the place where simply say, "God bless you for what you have. I'm not going to covet it." Look at the summary now. Keeping the Ten Commandments is not that hard to do if you're born again and love God. Let me run that through again. It is not that hard to keep the Ten Commandments. It becomes a way of life. And you have no desire to go back to the old way of living. It is really a matter of choice. What's next? Let me step on some toes here quickly. After I've been saved for some 20 years, someone gave me a book that dealt with eating pork. My first reaction was one of anger because I was raised on pork, loved it, couldn't imagine a person could live without bacon for the rest of your life. Swedish meatballs are half pork and half beef, and I loved it. Tradition for Swedes on Thursdays, to have pea soup with chunks of pork fat in it. The pork fat, the chunks about this big. And they are delicious. My taste buds love them. There's also a thick oven pancake made with pork. All this I eat for many years. Now, when I heard that, my first reaction was, I'm living under grace. You know? Although I love these dishes, I also love God and decided to read Leviticus chapter 11. Out of obedience and find out what God said. Now let's turn to Leviticus chapter 11. Now if you turn and read that with me, and you never read it before, you are not held accountable. So if you don't want to be held accountable, this is the time to walk out and come back when I'm done. Leviticus chapter 11. I'm going to read a few verses. I'm going to let you read yourself. And the Lord God, and the Lord spake unto Moses there and said to them, speak unto the children of Israel. Now I had to write up the synthesis. Oh, this is spoken to the priest only. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts or animals which you shall eat among of all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parts of hoof and is cloven footed, choose the cut among the beasts that shall you eat. Nevertheless, these shall you not eat of them that chew the cud or them that divide the hoof, as a camel, because he chews the cud but divide not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And a coney, because he chews the cud but divide not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the hare, the rabbit, because he chews the cud but divide not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, there's the pig. Though he divides the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he chews not the cud, he's unclean to you. Now, a lot of Christians believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he cleansed the pig. The pig did not change when Jesus died on the cross. A pig is a pig. I don't care how you clean it is. It still is a swine. Same chapter now, but let's go down now to the end of it. This is what he says in verse number 43. You shall not make yourself abominable with any creeping thing that creeps, neither shall you make yourself unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. Now, how do you get defiled? This is not talking about sin, this is talking about sickness. When was the last time you had you saw somebody shoot themselves with some cancer cells? They don't do that. But pork is the biggest cancer agent in the world. For I am the Lord your God, verse 44. You should therefore sanctify yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourself with any man or creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. For I am the Lord that brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall be therefore be holy, for I am holy. Holy means set apart. This is my suggestion. This is the law of the beast, of the fowl, of every living creature that moves in the waters, and of every creature that creeps upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. Did I love crabs? Yes. Lobster? Shrimp? Absolutely. All of them are scavengers. Your lobster, your crab, and everything else, they are eating dead tissues, droppings from other fishes, all the slimy stuff. They eat that. Pack it into their white meat. That's why it tastes so good. It's toxins. And God simply says, I made you to run on this kind of octane fuel. You cannot handle that. Now the devil says, eat it. Just eat it all. Because I want you to get sick. When somebody gets arthritis, you know what the first thing the doctors do? They take them off all shellfish. If that's the case, why don't we stop eating shellfish before you get sick? Smart, right? Now, let me read to you here. The law about food was never part of the sacrificial law, but was given so that the people of Israel could live without disease and have a long, healthy life. Upon this realization, I had to make a decision as to whether I should obey my fleshly crowing of eating shrimp sandwiches. And you haven't seen a shrimp sandwich here, unless you see the Swedish one. Nice slice of bread. Lots of real mayonnaise. All kind of other good stuff. Lettuce. A little bit of cheese and stuff. And then about a pound of shrimp on top of that. And you just ooze out of your mouth when you eat it. I mean, it is delicious. But I decided I want to be well. Crawdads. You know, crawdads in Sweden is very expensive. And when my brother and I got out here to California, we found out that they have a lot of crawdads in the rice fields. And you know, crawdads here is nothing. So I remember my brother, he went up with a big tub. He probably got maybe 50, 60 pounds of live crawdads. Took them down, filled his bathtub with it, put water in there. Called us up and said, we're going to have a party. And we were cooking those suckers. And we were eating them. And we thought, wow, we're living in a promised land. And I read Leviticus chapter 11. God is a creator, and he knows what kind of fuel the human body can burn. So I decided to go with God and realign my taste buds. I truly love God, and so it was easy to obey once it became clear that food laws are still in effect and the autonomy of the unclean animal did not change when Jesus died on the cross. Let's come to a conclusion then. In this message now, we have covered basic laws from God, but this is not the end of studying the Word of God. It's a lifetime commitment, and once we have understood the basics, we should read the Bible page by page and find out what God has spoken and what he wants us to do. You and I will never attain sinless perfection, but we can get closer and closer to Jesus. And there will be many sins which will never be repeated. The most difficult laws to keep are those dealing with attitudes. And this is a lifelong struggle that we must endure. We can never give up. And we can conquer if we press in and continue to fight. A man is able to resist adultery in the flesh, which is an entirely different thing to bypass Jesus' words that looking and lusting your minds as being the same as adultery. Turn to Matthew 5:27. That's Matthew 5:27. Now, most of us have our own thoughts, and we don't really share with other people what happens inside our brain. Matthew 5:27. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, you should not commit adultery. But I said to you that whosoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. But I say to you that whosoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, men, all of us are fighting this. If you're a man and you say, you know, well, I can look at a woman, you know, this doesn't mean a thing. You're a liar. It affects us. What we got to do is to simply say this, I cannot control this, but Jesus can. You drive down that street, and you see those women walking around wiggling their stuff, you look the other way. You don't have to check them out. That's how you do it. When somebody comes up, you know, and so you simply back off, you know, when you simply say the name of Jesus, I'm not going to be enticed by this. Now, you women are tempted in different ways. It's attitudes. You might happen to see a preacher, an elder, a deacon, you know, and you think, well, you know, if I had that guy, you know, look how godly he is, you know, reading the Bible. Look at my slob I got married to. You know, and you lust after the preacher, the deacon, or the elders, whatever it is. Listen, you haven't seen us at home. We all got problems. It's a matter of simply saying this in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be victorious. Attitude sins are the hardest to fight. Somebody offends you, and you said, I'll never forgive you. Somebody crosses you. Look what I wrote there to the end. It is not enough to resist the physical act of stealing, killing, adultery. We can't do that. But you must go further and not even entertain those thoughts in your mind. This is where the rubber meets the road, and it is here the real fight begins. You cannot be victorious when you watch ungodly movies and television programs, view pornographic material, drink alcohol, eat the wrong kind of food, and waste your time on the computer. Computer games. War games. Closing scriptures in Ephesians chapter 6. That's Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I pray to God you will understand this. This is what Paul says now, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The first step to victory is to make up your mind you're not going to be defeated. That's your first step. If you walk around and say, oh, I'm too weak, I can't handle this, you're defeated before you begin. You got to make a decision. I am not going to be defeated. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, and you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the roots of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, where you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is what you have to do. You got to read this and get it down. I'm going to give you a bonus scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. That's 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Verse number 3. Whether we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty for God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I made a rule years ago. I do not counsel women alone. This is where most preachers go down. I have my wife with me, have an elder with me, deacon with me, but I learned this. I don't counsel a woman alone. If I go someplace, I don't go to a woman's house alone. I have somebody with me. Why? Two reasons. Number one, I don't want to be tempted. Number two, you never know what some people will do to simply get you and nail you. Some women have done that. They simply scream, he tried to rape me. Your word against them. You're stuck. You simply work it smart. For the weapons of our warfare are carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down the mighty nations, every high thing that exalts against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, the devil can tempt us. He can put thoughts in our minds. When you have a bad thought coming in, you're not responsible for that. That's on him. But if you dwell upon it, it's yours. As bad thoughts are coming in, enticement, simply ward them off and say, I'm not going to entertain that. I reject that. I rebuke that. I don't want that. And you can be victorious. But the moment you begin to think about it, you begin to drool about it, you're gone. The battle is in the mind. And you stop sinning in your head. In your mind, you stop sinning. When you come home and you see that screen sitting there and the demons say, you know, what's your program? What's your program? You can say in the name of Jesus, no. David Wilkerson, years ago, was hooked on pornography and bad television program. They used to live in Texas at that time. And he simply got so upset that he took all the television sets from the entire compound and they shot them with their shotguns and killed them all. He could not control the set. If you cannot control something, get rid of it. If you got a bad dog, you know what to do with it. You don't let him chew on your leg. You either retrain the dog or you sell the dog or you get rid of the dog. If you got bad thoughts, get rid of them. Remember, it is not so important how you begin your life with the salvation, but how you finish it. Have you made plans on how to finish your life, or are you just drifting? Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, I am not a super saint. And Lord, I've failed many times, but I thank you for the blood of Jesus that I can repent and be forgiven. And Father God, it was easy in the flesh to keep the Ten Commandments, not to eat the wrong kind of foods, Father God. But Lord, the attitude sins with temper, anger, different things, Father God, these are the things that we really have a problem with. And I ask you, Lord, that you would touch this congregation today, the part of the congregation to hear, the part of the in cyberspace, Lord. That you would help each man or woman to control their thoughts and to stop sinning in our mind before they carry it out. Be merciful, Lord, to us. And strengthen us. And I praise you for that, Lord. We can be victorious. Holy Spirit, you saturate us right now. Sanctify us. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you've been watching me today, you're not saved. Would you come to Christ? You say, my Heavenly Father, I see people are coming, getting ready here to do the altar call. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart. Ask God to forgive your sins. And say, Jesus, save me in your name. And he will. The altars have opened. If you are sick, if you have a problem, if you have a need, you want to be prayed for, use that. Come to the elders here, the deacons. And if you're watching us, call us, write us. And we will minister to you in Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled, Walking in Your Free Will. Knowing something in theory doesn't mean anything until it is put into action. In this message, you will learn in a practical way what it means to have a free will and use it to love God. Many Christians believe they love God by attending church, singing, and tithing. And while these things are good and well, loving God actually begins with obeying Him and living a holy life. The first step is learning how to live and putting the concepts into action. This lifelong process of abstaining from sin in body and mind will open your eyes to see that we serve a great and powerful God, and it is truly wonderful to know Him in a more intimate way and have His love flow through you. Remember, it is not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1262. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today. And until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.